It's a few weeks now since Ben Thompson, who was our pioneer minister, and Susie and the family left here. I wasn't actually here at that point in time. It's also about 6 months since Ben actually preached his last sermon and was here. And many of us have been sharing with them the journey that they've made, because it's not been easy to decide to leave Moreton to go to Singapore, where he's now a lecturer in the college out there in Old Testament. A huge, huge move. And for Ben and Susie, as they tried to make it, it wasn't easy. Were they doing the right thing to take the family right out to Singapore? Were they doing the right thing to leave this country, to leave Moreton? Very, very hard situation. And what we see as we open these next chapters of Genesis, continuing our series in the life of Joseph, is a situation where Joseph's father Jacob, or Israel, has the same kind of issues. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph has met up with his brothers. They've been reconciled. The brothers have now gone back to Canaan. They're talking with their father, and they explain that Joseph's alive. And at the end of chapter 45, Jacob says this: "I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I'll go and see him before I die." Which brings us to our first point this morning, an uncertain journey. Having heard that Joseph is alive, naturally his father wants to go and see him. Now, many of us during COVID, I know, have been separated from families. We've longed to see our families, but the restrictions have meant we can't go to see them. As we think on this Remembrance Sunday, we recall how so many families were separated. And just last night, I was watching a television program of a soldier coming home and finding things so different when he got home. Jacob wanted to see Joseph, whom he hadn't seen for many, many years. And so, verse 1, Israel set out with all that was his. He set out. He set out to go and meet Joseph. But the fact, if you look at verse 3, where it says, "I am the God of your father," he said, "do not be afraid," suggests that actually he was. That Jacob was afraid to go down. And in one sense, it's not surprising, because his father Isaac had been told, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live." So here he is. He's got this desire to go and see Joseph. But he's also got at the back of his mind, well, hang on a minute, God told my dad, don't go down to Egypt. You've got to stay in the land that I've given you. So he's got a quandary. Am I doing the right thing? If I go down to Egypt, do I risk leaving God behind, as it were? Do I risk breaking the covenant with God? And so he has all these questions going on in his mind. Friends, he's making a big change. Ben and Susie were making a huge change to go to Singapore with lots of questions. And that's how it is, isn't it, in life? When we make a big change, maybe a change of work or a change of where we live or the decision to have a child, it's a huge change. And we can have all these kinds of questions that can cause us sleepless nights. But it's not just in that physical realm. I've had the privilege many times of sitting with people who are searching for faith and asking the questions, well, if I follow Jesus, doesn't it mean stopping this, giving up that, and talking about the cost of being a follower of Jesus? Now, you may be here this morning, or you may be following online in the live stream and asking those kinds of questions. Do I want to make this journey a journey of faith? Am I doing the right thing? Jacob had these kinds of questions. Verse 1, Israel set out with all that was his. When he reached Beersheba, He offered sacrifices to the God of his father. He comes to Beersheba, which, as you'll see from the map behind me, is right at the very end of Canaan. It's the southernmost part. It's almost as if he sort of set out, got to this point and thought, oh, crumbs, I haven't talked to God about this. I don't know whether that rings bells with you. I'm the sort of person, I sort of start doing something and think, oh, crumbs, I should have prayed about this first off. It may be, that may be. Or it may be that Beersheba had so many associations with Abraham, his grandfather, Isaac, his father, that when he's waited till he gets there. But whatever, he there offers sacrifices. He brings God into the question. And almost it's a little bit like, you know, a small child, perhaps a little bit anxious on the way to school, puts its hand in the hand of its parent. Jacob, in his uncertainty, puts his hand into the hand of God. He's not sure about this journey. He's not sure about the reception. He's not sure about leaving his home and his family. And in his uncertainty, he puts his hand in God's hand. Now, friends, I don't know what uncertainties face you this morning. I don't know what the things are that you're anxious about. But here's the encouragement, isn't it? Whatever it is, we can put our hand into the hand of God. And as Jacob was to find out, that was a good place to put his hand and to put his trust. Because what he found was, in our second point, a faithful God. God knew what was going on in Jacob's heart. He goes, what's going on in our hearts? And God spoke to him. Verse 2, God spoke to Israel in a vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am the God of your father. And that was a significant phrase. I am the God of your father. Because it was reminding Jacob that he was the covenant-making God. And Jacob had been wondering, if I go down to Egypt, am I breaking the covenant? Am I losing God? But here, almost at the start of his journey, the covenant God speaks. And the main promise he makes to Jacob is the covenant's going to carry on. The covenant will continue. Again in verse 3. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you. I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. Can you see the covenant promises there? God's promise to Abraham was to make him a people who would be in God's place with God's presence. God's people in God's place with God's presence. That's the covenant promise. And that's here in these verses. Don't be afraid to go down into Egypt, for I will make you a great nation. As they go down, there are only 70 of them. That's hardly a people. But God is going to make them into a great nation. And they will be a people. And more, God says, and in fact, God's going to pack up and go with them. He's not leaving God behind. Again, verse 4, I will go down to Egypt with you. I will go down to Egypt. So they'll have God's presence with them as they go down to Egypt. And then God says, I will surely bring you back again. And yeah, the reference is specifically to Jacob, with those words at the end of verse 4, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. But its context is the underlying promise that Jacob would be returned, yes, dead back to Canaan, but God's people would return to Canaan. And God will bring these people back out of Israel, back to the place that God had promised for them. God was reassuring
reassuring Jacob. Jacob, I understand what you're going through. I understand the anxieties you've got. I know what's going on in your heart and mind. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to fulfill there my promises to make you a great nation, to be a people, and bring you back to your own place. This is God's plan. This is God's salvation plan. Jacob is part of it, as Joseph is part of it. And under God's powerful hand, this is what has happened. We're actually meant to look today at chapters 46 and 47, but we're just looking at these first verses. But right at the end of chapter 47, in verse 27, it says, "The Israelites settled in Egypt, in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number." God says, go down into Egypt, I'll make you a great nation. What happened? That's what happened. What God said happened. Our God, he always keeps his promises. And in the light of the faithfulness of God, what we see next, thirdly, is an obedient servant. In verse 2, when God begins speaking, Jacob says, "Here I am." He presents himself before God. He's open to listen to the word of God. And then, verse 5, Jacob left Beersheba. And Israel's sons took their father Jacob, their children, their wives, in the carts. Pharaoh had sent the transport for him. They also took all their livestock and the possessions they'd acquired in Canaan. Jacob and his offspring went to Egypt. He did what God said. God says, go down. He did it. He's the wise man who hears and puts into practice the word of God. He was the obedient servant. And he did it wholeheartedly. Again, in those verses there, let's look at it, verse 5 again, if you would look at it with me. "Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to him. They took with them their livestock, their possessions they had acquired in Canaan." They took everything. It's not a case of, well, we'll rent out our house so that we can come back to it later on. Or we'll leave some of the people back here so that we've got a little foothold back here. No, it was total commitment. Jacob was totally committed to what God was telling him to do. Everything. He gave everything. And he did it in confidence because he'd met with God who spoke to him. Friends, today here in St. David's, and for some of you in your own homes as you watch, we meet with God. We hear God's word. And hopefully God's word to us today is to step forward. To step forward with confidence because of God's promise to be with us wherever we go. And yet some of us are uncertain. And we may be uncertain about committing to Jesus as his follower. And friends, if that's you, here or online, please, I want to say that the only way we can know God is if we commit to Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, in a sense, we're rejecting God. So don't do that. I recognize that committing to Jesus, as for Jacob, means leaving things behind, parts of our old life. It means a change of lifestyle. It may not mean leaving home, friends, or family, but it does mean having a new priority in our lives. When we commit to Jesus, yes, there is change. I remember I came to faith when I was 21, and suddenly I had a whole new range of friends. But I found over the years, what to my sadness, is that my brothers who are not Christians just don't get it. And there's a gap between us. I lost that. And then as I was a teacher and sort of 4 years in after I became a Christian, I was called to prepare for ordination. So I lost my career, but that's not for everybody. But it does mean a change. It does mean a change. And yet, I'm so glad that by the grace of God I came to faith and knew the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're hesitant, let me encourage you to carry on. I was talking to one of my grandsons in the week, and he was telling me how at school they'd gone to the swimming pool for a swimming lesson. And he said, "Granddad, we learned to jump into the swimming pool. So exciting." But I can imagine that actually that's not great. You can always imagine, can't you, sort of some of the youngsters sort of standing at the edge of the swimming pool thinking, "Ooh, I'm not too sure about this. I'm not too sure about jumping in there at all." And yes, I've met plenty of people who, faced with the opportunity of coming to faith, are saying, "Well, I'm not too sure about this." Friends, if that's you, let me encourage you. Come on in. The water's fine. And it is great living with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for others, the hesitancy will be different, because we made that commitment perhaps many, many years ago, and our hesitancy in our faith life may be about different things. It may be about being involved in service. Perhaps we're hesitant to step forward and be involved in an area of service, in Big Fish or the Friday Club or something like that. And friends, service is part of our Christian life, and God calls us to that. He calls us to be involved in Christian service. And he's promised, as he calls us, to help us and to be with us as we're involved in Christian service. So step forward in confidence, because our God is faithful. Or it may be that we're thinking about joining a home group and think, "Well, do I really need to join a home group?" Yes, you do. In the home groups, we can meet together, we can share, we can encourage each other, we can build each other up. So please join one. Or it may be that some are still wondering about, "Should I come to church physically on a Sunday?" The second Sunday while I was there in Portugal recently was the first time that the church in Almancil, down there on the Algarve, had physically met. So this was, what, September, about the 17th or something like that. It was the first time since March 2020 that they'd met. Now, I'd been used to being in churches for months, and it wasn't a big thing for me. It was huge for them. And afterwards, they don't have coffee in the meeting place. They go to a little cafe nearby and they have coffee. And the buzz, the excitement of just being together, of seeing each other after so many months, was so great. Friends, if you're hesitant to come, I respect that. But I do believe that even if we have to stand and sing with masks on, it's so much better to be meeting with the people of God Sunday by Sunday than not meeting together. Don't be hesitant. Step forward. Our journey of faith brings us into many situations and many points where we're hesitant. But we are just recalling that we gain so much from being together, God's people, in God's presence. And this is not God's place. God's place is heaven. But this is God's people together in the presence of God as we look forward to God's place. Friends, if you're hesitant, whether it's coming to faith or whether it's something physical, whether it's something to do with life in our church, then God's word tells us today about God's faithfulness and calls us to respond by committing to the Lord Jesus Christ and to living as faithful and obedient servants. Let me pray for us. Father, some of us are just naturally hesitant people. Forgive us that so often we need so much encouragement and help to move forward. But thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Jacob, who, anxious as he was, heard your word and stepped forward in faith. And may we, in our different situations, be willing to do that, to step forward with our hand in your hand, trusting you, our God and our guide. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.